Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Pure Vacations podcast. Thanks so much for joining us again. I am, of course, joined by Wesley Baker, CEO of Pure One Group, and my name is Dan Pratt, and I'm the COO of Pure One Group. And today is a Malawi special, and we are joined by Kelly White. So I'll introduce Kelly in a second, and he can tell us all a little bit about what he does. And so we've got some really cool stuff coming up today, all about Malawi and some real key nuggets of information that our listeners will really enjoy. So obviously from our website, purevacations.com, there's lots of articles about that, but hearing it, audio is always a real key thing as well. So on today's show...
From my perspective, I just like to know if I need to push the wife in there because there's a crocodile in there.
But it's basically elephants on tour, isn't it?
It really is.
As a surfer for 40-odd years, I can still I can ride a one-inch wave.
That's more me. I'm more of a floater.
He has done that in rivers and everything.
Prince Harry helped at one point.
Journey with us to the corners of the earth, where stories come alive and dreams take flight. From the bustling streets of Tokyo to the serene shores of Bora Bora, every destination has a tale, and we're here to share it. Brought to you by the man who's trekked the peaks, dived the depths, and explored the vast expanse of our beautiful world. Here's your captain for today's adventure, the seasoned traveler and the voice of voyages, Wesley Baker. And alongside Wesley is Dan Pratt.
Welcome to the podcast, Kelly. And before we start off, I just want to say welcome as well. Wesley, how are you, Wesley, today?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Lots more podcasts to come down the line.
Perfect. Well, lovely to have you here as always. And Kelly, welcome. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and who you are.
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me on. My name is Kelly White. I work for what's known as the Malawi Travel Marketing Consortium, which is a bit of a mouthful, but it's basically all of Malawi's main tourism operators in Malawi, the lodges, the safari companies, those kind of people. And they collectively pay us to do their marketing of Malawi as a country. So we work sort of a bit like a tourist board, but we do it on behalf of the private sector. We work alongside, Malawi has a Ministry of Tourism. We work alongside the Malawi Ministry of Tourism. I've known some of those guys for 20, 30 years. and so with them, we are here promoting Malawi trying to convince people what a wonderful, beautiful country it is.
That's fantastic. I went in 2018. I went to South Africa as my first time on the African continent, and it was amazing. We did 2,000, 3,000 kilometers driving along the Garden Route, and I fell in love with the country, and I made it my mission to experience more of Africa. So I'm very excited to hear about this. This is one place certainly on my list. So that sounds really exciting. Super excited about that.
Okay, so I would like to ask Kelly, I mean, how is Malawi seen now regarding how are the British and perhaps the international travellers looking at Malawi? I've seen a lot more activity, and to me, Malawi, my first experience with Malawi was back in the 1970s, really, when I knew someone who had lived in Malawi, and they used to talk about their life in Malawi at the time, and they were an expat that came over. So I'm just very interested to see how it's perceived at this moment and where you think Malawi is going in the next year, 2 years regarding tourism.
Yeah. So interesting, actually, because I think really it's now in a really positive place. It was a country that in the past was not particularly perceived well in tourism terms, and the main reason for that was because 20, 30 years ago, pretty much the only reason people went to Africa was for safaris, and Malawi's back then didn't really offer the safaris that some of the other countries do offer. The main weakness it had was that it didn't have that many predators, and you know, people want to go see the lions, you know, it's fair enough. But the beauty of what's happening now in Malawi is that for the last 10, 15 years or so, there's been a massive concerted conservation projects going on that have completely transformed the wildlife scene and the safari experience. And so now it is actually a fantastic safari destination. It's got the Big Five, a couple of really good Big Five reserves. And so now it's got the thing that most people used to want. I'm not sure I'll expand on it a bit more as we chat, but Malawi's always had a lot of other attractions as well. And the beauty being that the scenery, the culture, the beaches that it's got, it's always had those. But because most people going to Africa used to just want the safaris, it was forgotten about. Now it's got the safaris, and thankfully, I think people are looking for a bit more from Africa now these days.
Yeah,
So,
I mean, you've got Lake Malawi, haven't you? I mean, which is huge.
absolutely.
Is that like the hub of where is it a hub that people go to? I mean,
I mean, it used to be the sort of main attraction when the safaris were weak. And Malawi, geographically, it's sort of long and thin, and Lake Malawi stretches all up the eastern side of it. So you can visit Lake Malawi pretty much wherever you are in Malawi. But yes, it certainly used to be a focal point for the tourism industry, and now it's a key element still. But you've got these fantastic safaris, the culture, the scenery. So Malawi's always had this sort of rounded offering of experiences. And now that it's got these fantastic safaris, the main thing that people still look for in Africa, but people are looking for the broader things as well. And it always had those. So I think in terms of what the future holds, the future is extremely bright for Malawi, in tourism terms. Having been held back in the past, there's now absolutely nothing holding it back.
so in a nutshell, Malawi basically has, because the Big Five has its national parks now, which are all organized and professionally done. It's got beautiful beaches, if I'm correct, understand that. Good standard of hotels as well, a range of hotels,
It does,
lodgings.
yes. Yeah.
Are they all is it also a beach destination, would you say? Is it possible to be a beach destination?
It is. I mean, I think, most people aren't going to go all that way just to go sit on a beach, but you can. I mean, it's a freshwater lake, but it's like an inland sea. I mean, it's vast. It's long and thin, but even the width is 50 odd miles or so. So you can get to the shores of Lake Malawi, not see the other side. And what you're looking at is beautiful, crystal clear waters, waves lapping golden sandy beaches. This is a tropical beach destination. There's no doubt about it. And there's snorkeling, diving, kayaking. There's all
I
this.
was gonna actually ask. I mean, is there an increase in adventure tourism in that region? Is Malawi becoming like an adventure tourism destination? Because, outside of that, the safari and the beach, there must be an adventure aspect to it now.
It is very much so. It's always been somewhere where you've been able to do lots of different activities, and the lake obviously provides great opportunities for water sports. So, I mean, the there are waves, but there isn't enough wave for surfing. But everything else you think of as a sort of basic sort of water sport
I
is
wouldn't say that,
available.
Kelly. I, as a surfer for 40 odd years, I can still find, I can ride a 1-inch wave. So
Okay, then there you go.
I will be there. I will
That's your
find a way.
challenge. That's
I will
your
find. Well,
challenge.
actually, yeah, I'll speak to Ben Gravy, who's a very good. He is one of the co-owners of one of our subsidiary brands, which is a surfing brand, which is probably
Okay.
why,
I mean, don't get me wrong.
actually.
There are times of the year where the waves
Well,
can get,
we're
you get
always
me
looking for.
wrong.
His ambition is to surf every single country of the world. He believes he can surf a wave. He never seems to. That includes, but he has done that in rivers and everything. And so Malawi will be on his list at some stage.
Fantastic,
So
fantastic.
we would change that conception, I'm sure.
I think for me, I like the idea of having a float around with a nice cocktail in the tranquil waters and hearing some animals in the background and that's more me. I'm more of a floater than but there again, like I said, scuba diving and jet skiing and all of that. I bet that's very, very popular in that area. Do you get a lot of that as well?
It is popular. I mean, to be very honest, a lot of people are more in your school of thought, to be honest, Dan, in the sense that the beach and the lake tends to come after having explored, done the safaris, that kind of thing. So they are looking for a bit of relaxation when you've done the rest of the bits and pieces. So the relaxation and sitting in G&Ts and lying in a hammock or sitting on a beach or just relaxing does come high on the list. But then all those activities are there for those that want to do a bit more fun stuff.
Well, we can't wait.
So on that basis, then you would be a competitor, direct competitor to Tanzania, which is the safari, and then they go over to the island. So you're basically saying, well, you don't have to travel over to the island, you can stay within where you are, and
Well, this
travel's
is
got to be
it.
less.
This is it. Until someone really shoots me down, I'll happily tell you that Malawi is the most complete Africa destination that there is, because it has everything you would want from Africa as a continent. It's got fantastic cultural interaction, it's got beautiful scenery, it's got the safaris, and it's got a beach. And the beauty, it's such a small country. So Malawi is about the size of England, and I don't mean the whole UK, just the England bit. So you can literally be on safari in the morning, and by lunchtime, sitting, relaxing, sitting, sipping your G&Ts on a beach, and that's an interesting 2-3 hour drive through seeing the villages, going past the beautiful scenery, and there you are on the beach. So there aren't many places. Obviously, there are countries that have a bit of the variety, but to have all of the variety in such a small area, it is unrivaled. I will, you know.
That's exactly what my point was going to say. Like, so Ben Gravy, just so our listeners know, oceanfever.com is our surf brand. So if anybody wants to have a look at that, oceanfever.com. And yeah, he's an amazing surfer. And like I said, when we were saying that, it was a joke, but also, yeah, he could do that. And so could Wesley, probably, to be honest. So I think that, yeah, like you said, the surf sort of side of thing is kind of there a bit tongue in cheek. But like I said, it does offer everything. Like I said, this is one thing. It's one place I've never really thought of to encapsulate all of those things. So my question is obviously you said it's reasonably small, and it's you're selling it to me. I really want to go there, but how was the transport links like getting there and then obviously moving around the country as well?
Getting there is relatively straightforward. It doesn't, from the UK, there aren't direct flights, but you can fly on Ethiopian Airlines through Addis, you can fly on Kenya Airways through Nairobi, you can go down to Joburg on a variety of airlines and come up from Joburg, and all of those go into Malawi pretty much every day of the week, and they all go into Lilongwe or in the centre of the country, or into Blantyre in the south of the country. So whilst there isn't the slight convenience of a direct flight, you can go
It's
any
easy
day of the week.
enough, yeah.
It's easy enough, you know. Not everywhere has got direct, and so that's relatively straightforward. As in terms of getting around, it's pretty straightforward again. Again, those sort of short distances mean journeys are straightforward. The road network is fine, you know. It's not extended. What you're talking about is single carriageway roads from main place to main place, but they're tarmac roads. They're pretty well maintained. Every now and again, the rains play havoc a bit, and there's pothole sections, but they get fixed. So you know, you can do these journeys relatively straightforwardly. I mean, we get asked about quite often, is it somewhere you can self-drive? Absolutely, you can. You know, drive on the same side of the road as us. There's not a huge amount of traffic, certainly when you get out of the main cities, which aren't that huge anyway. It's straightforward to do. So, I mean, most people are going to get taken around by, you know, have a guide taking them around and driving them around. But if you want to do it self-drive, do it self-drive.
Okay, can I ask transportation to Malawi? What's the transportation links from the UK and Europe? I mean, what is it? Is it direct? Do you have to go via somewhere or what?
So no, as I was saying, it's via Addis on Ethiopian Airlines, or it's via Nairobi on Kenya Airways, or you're going down to Joburg and you're flying back up from Joburg.
Okay, is that do you know of anything in the pipeline that might be going direct?
There's work behind the scenes going on to try and get some direct flights set up. I mean, I think it was it. I've been doing this job for 20, 30 years, and I still don't understand how airlines operate. And I think, was it Richard Branson said, if you want to own an airline worth $1 billion, buy one worth $5 billion and wait a couple of years.
Yeah. I've launched airlines, Kelly. I understand the fundamentals of it actually. But it is a nightmare. But Malawi to me is an interesting market. So the population of Malawi is, I think, if I'm vaguely correct, is somewhere between 20 and 25 million, isn't it? Something in that.
Something
Yeah.
like that. Yeah,
Oh, in a land the size of England. So that's pretty sparse. So what are the major cities, and do guests arrive and stay in the major cities, or is there particular resorts that people should be looking at?
So Lilongwe is the capital, and that's in the center of the country, has the main international airport. Blantyre is in the south of the country and is actually, I think, ever so slightly bigger than Lilongwe, and has always been the sort of commercial capital, if you like. There are interesting things to do in each of those places. Lilongwe, actually, slightly bizarrely, it's got a it's a sort of split city. So to the north of the city is the more modern high-rise buildings, that kind of thing. To the south is the more traditional old town, which was the original settlement. And in between the two is a nature sanctuary. So it's an interesting place to spend a day or so. And there's interesting markets to go to, craft market. The nature sanctuary does some fantastic conservation work, and is a lovely little sort of oasis in the city. Most people don't linger too long in Lilongwe, in truth. And again, because of the size of the country, you can get out fairly quickly. I mean, from Lilongwe, within an hour and a half, you can be on the shores of Lake Malawi. So people tend to sort of move on. But if you're, if your flight times and that kind of thing mean you've got to spend a bit of time there, then yeah, there's plenty of interest to sort of keep you occupied. Similarly with Blantyre. Blantyre is in the sort of heart of the southern region, and actually Malawi's main big five game reserves are in the south. So from Blantyre, again, you're an hour and a half from a Majeti Wildlife Reserve, which is a big five reserve. So if you land in the morning, you can be there and having your lunch surrounded by the animals. Again, Blantyre has sort of historical sites, a really great sort of huge church that hails from the time of Livingstone, and is an interesting city to wander around. I mean, the city, it's neither of these places are anything on the scale of the likes of Nairobi or Joburg or anywhere like that. These are, big towns really in that kind of context. But they're nice, perfectly pleasant. You feel relatively safe going around. You can go into the markets, that kind of thing. So again, somewhere you can spend some time, but people tend to move out and get to the game parks, up to the
So, like they're
Highlands.
like somewhere like Chester or Canterbury or that sort of size.
I
Is it?
guess so, something like that. Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
So, just talking about, you mentioned safety there. So, I just want to go a bit more into that. Just give our listeners put their mind at rest, because, like I said, I went to Cape Town, and well, I went, like I said, 3,000 kilometers all around South Africa, but spent a lot of time in Cape Town and Stellenbosch and places like that. And it was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I did have to have my wits about me. So, in all of the rooms, we had panic buttons. We're going into gated communities, like driving in and out. I remember we were driving along we were going from one place to another in a coach. It was for a wedding, and one of the girls in the coach actually said, "Oh, I need to stop to get some cigarettes or have a wee or something like that." And he said, "Oh no, we drive two coaches in convoy. We don't stop along here because there's a high chance of
Okay.
ambushings and." And things like that. We got told never to go outside at night. If you stop at traffic lights, keep your windows done up, keep the doors locked. So it was a great experience, but I did feel in the back of my mind I was always a little bit uncomfortable in Cape Town and South Africa. I'm guessing obviously every city, London is safe. There's dodgy parts of London. Paris is safe, dodgy parts of Paris. It's the same wherever you go in the world. So what's in relation to Malawi and other African areas, how would you rate the kind of the safety, and is there any advice that you would give, any tips, or was it as safe as Canterbury?
To be honest, it's as safe as Canterbury. It's the polar opposite to what you just described. Yet the only sort of thing you would have to say is, yes, the big cities, the sort of suburban townshipy areas, don't go wandering there on your own after dark. But I mean, you'd be a bit of a fool to think that would be a sensible thing to do anyway. That's pretty much it. In the daytime, in the city centres, absolutely no issues whatsoever. And then once you're, and as I say, you're not going to spend a huge amount of time in the cities anyway. Once you're outside the cities, cool. I mean, you're absolutely, free to go anywhere. You'll be welcomed with smiles. You drive around and sort of stop anywhere near a village, and the kids will come out and smile at you and want to take you into the village. I mean, a guy I used to work with always liked telling the story. He was heading back to the airport to get to leave Malawi, and had a bit of a sort of long drive, and because it was a weekend, he'd sort of stop along the way every now and again for sort of comfort stops. He got invited into four weddings on the way back to the airport. Thankfully, no
Fantastic.
funerals, but four weddings. It's that, they're just such friendly people. I mean, Malawi is known as the warm heart of Africa, and it's because the people are so friendly and so welcoming. And they are. So everywhere you go, I mean, I'm not suggesting it's the way to do it, but if you wanted to just buy yourself an air ticket to Malawi, land at the airport, and then sort of think, well, where should I go now? People will advise you. People will tell you. People will probably take you to their cousin's house. I mean, it's that it is really friendly. So in terms of security and safety, you really don't need to worry. I mean, once you get out and about, I've driven round Malawi, up and down a few times, and every now and again you have a bit of an issue with a car. I remember once we had a rather strange noise coming out of one of the wheels, pulled up by the side of the road, and all of a sudden we were sort of surrounded by a dozen or so young men. And in some circumstances you'd think, oh dear, what's going to happen here? They just wanted to help, and they didn't want us to get our hands dirty. So they got the jack out, jacked up the car, took the wheel off. I don't think they got any mechanical knowledge between them, but they just wanted to help. Sort of
How
wheeled the
lovely.
wheel around a bit, listened to it, didn't know what they were, put it all back on, and then just sort of said, "Oh, a mile down the road, there's a tire doctor. Go talk to him." They didn't want money. They didn't want. They just enjoyed the interaction. It's that kind of place. It really is.
Do you hear it? The world is calling. From untouched beaches to the heartbeats of age-old cities, Pure Vacations is your gateway to authentic travel experiences. We don't just take you to destinations. We dive deep into their soul.
Into their soul.
With expert insights, local secrets, and mesmerizing tales.
Mesmerizing.
Our online travel blog is your compass to the world's wonders. Pure Vacations. Discover. Explore. Be inspired. Your journey begins here. Visit purevacations.com.
So what I want to do now is I want to ask you some specific questions, really. So
Okay.
What is the sort of budget that people, I mean, is it a luxury destination, or is it now attracting the more moderate and maybe the budget traveler as well? Because that's where Malawi's growth will come in tourism. I mean, luxury is all very well, but luxury, you're fighting against every single person in the whole of Africa. And I'm sure Malawi's got lots of luxury, but does it also, has it got, does it cater for the average person, in the UK? Could they afford to go to Malawi, and is it an expensive place? And then the other thing is, I guess, what sort of durations should people be really looking at? And what about jabs? What sort of jabs do they need to take? I mean, there's a lot of questions there. You won't,
Okay.
you know, see medical ones, you don't have, people shouldn't stick to what you say, but I'd just like to know really the basic questions that the average person would ask.
Yeah. Okay. So in terms of cost, it's what Malawi has. It's got a little bit of everything, but not a lot of anything. So yes, there are the luxury lodges, but there are literally half a dozen,
Handful.
10 of them around the whole country. So if money is no object to you, you can go and stay in a luxury lodge in each of Malawi's game parks, but you can't choose from five luxury lodges in each of Malawi's game parks. Equally, there are then plenty of mid-market options in the game parks, and particularly up and down the lake shore and in the highland areas. Everything gets a bit cheaper once you get outside the game parks. And if you want to go and do it as an independent backpacker and pay $10, $20 a night, you can do that if you want to as well. So it does cater for all kind of levels. I mean, naturally, this is long haul, it's Africa. Your flights are not as cheap as we'd like them to be. So your overall holiday is still going to be, a darn sight more than a week on a beach in Benidorm.
It's the
But
flight. It's the flight that's really the expensive element. It's kind of
the
what's saying
flight
to me.
becomes an expensive element, and transport and getting around and that kind of thing. Malawi's is a small country in the middle of Africa. They don't manufacture car parts, so running a vehicle costs a lot of money in Malawi. You've got to import everything, including the vehicle and every other part of it. So if someone puts a trip together for you, there's still going to be a cost element to it, but it's certainly not. I mean, I can give you so Malawi's most expensive lodges these days, everyone quotes in US dollars, and they are in the sort of 400 to $500 per person per night. Now, to me, that's that's an expensive place to stay. But you know, there's plenty of neighboring countries, Botswana and the like, that are charging three times that amount.
One and a half thousand a night. Well, that's just, yeah.
Exactly. So, and that's Malawi's highest level, and then you've got everything below that, basically. So if you sort of say, well, okay, $200 a night, absolute tops, you can still go around Malawi, you can still have safari experiences, you can still at that kind of level. And again, if you want to, you know, at $50 a night, you can find things. Maybe the safaris might be a bit of a stretch, but certainly, you know, so it's sort of doable at
Are
various
there
levels.
a lot of British and European companies that are featuring Malawi, or is it still very select
Yeah, I
in
mean, it tends to be the sort of Africa specialist operators,
the...
but there's plenty of those about. I mean, we actually update a list of UK operators that do sell Malawi, and we sort of distribute that. And you know, there's plenty out there.
Well, maybe it's something that we should be looking at Pure One. I
Yeah,
mean,
definitely. That's what I was thinking.
We're looking constantly at Africa at the moment. We did have an African program. We're just redoing it literally now at this moment. So maybe it's something we should seriously look at for Pure One.
I mean,
We're a model operator, so from that point of view, what you've said is really good, actually. It's just the flight element which will make it more expensive, but that's fine.
No, there's, I mean, there's, yeah. So it's you, and more are offering it again now that, you know, as I say, doing this 20, 30 years, and way back when we started, people would be, oh, we love Malawi, but it's so hard to sell. And that reason was those lack of predators. Now the trade has got no excuses, and are recognizing that. So, you know, they are starting to introduce it.
Can I ask a question that's just popped in? How did Malawi suddenly get these predators? Were they always there, but they just weren't putting it, or were they imported from some of the other countries?
Yeah, so
Yeah.
they were there, but there wasn't the resource to protect them. So Malawi's protected areas, the game parks, have been there for many, many years, decades, but they weren't as well protected as they needed to be.
But they weren't managed properly, basically, and
They weren't
now
fully.
they're managed in a point where
Now
you
they
can see
manage.
them as a tourism in
Exactly.
tourism.
And what it's actually an organization called African Parks came in, and they took over the management of three of Malawi's game parks. African Parks is extremely well funded by its donor money. It's you know, they do very well sort of gathering money from around the world. And so they then reintroduced. So they, I mean, Majeti was the reserve in the south that they started with, and they re that, there was virtually nothing left in Majeti at all. And they reintroduced. First, they have to bring in the thing, the prey. You can't bring in the predators until you've got the prey. So they brought those in, and then they started with four lions in Majeti, and then they sort of moved them around a little bit to make sure the gene pool mixes that kind of over the years. Now they've got I'm not sure what the figures are, but I mean they are now having to introduce in Majeti a contraceptive program for the
Oh,
lions
okay, yeah.
because they've got so many. So it's been a hugely successful conservation project that's been done, but
And
it
it's
has
been one
been
over time as well. So that's the
over
thing.
time.
It's not been an instant thing. It's been a
No,
gradual thing over decades.
they took over Majeti over 20 years ago. So it has been a gradual thing, and then Lwanda as well, and Nkota Kota. And about 10 years ago, the interesting thing, one of these nice things is that they moved. So these are now very successful parks, and Majeti was the first one that they sort of concentrated on. And when they started with Majeti, they moved some elephants, can you believe, out of Lwanda National Park, which is also in Malawi. Lwanda was always Malawi's best game park and was pretty good. It just didn't have the predators, but they had plenty of ellies. So they moved some ellies into Majeti. Roll on a few years, and African Parks takes over and Nkota Kota Reserve in the central part of Malawi, and that's somewhere that doesn't have a lot of ellies. So they moved 500 elephants into Nkota Kota Reserve that they took out of Lwanda and out of Majeti. So Majetis have done so well that they've actually been able to put them into Nkota Kota. This is the largest translocation of elephant. I mean, a phenomenal thing that they do. Prince Harry helped at one point. But what I'm keen to find is the poor old elephant that started its life in Lewonde, got moved to Majeti, and then a few was just setting up home in Majeti, and then a few years later got darted again and got taken up to Nkota
It's
Kota.
basically elephants on tour, isn't it?
It really is. It
Yeah.
really is.
That's a good name for a band. That's a great name for a band, actually, Elephants on Tour.
But
Seeing
yeah,
the
so
country.
yeah, reintroduced, but they were always there in originally, and now it's they've got wild dog, they've brought giraffe in, and you know, all thriving, all thriving.
So I do have a question, which is something I'm very passionate about, is food and drink. I quite like my wine. I quite like fine cuisine and things. I live in Paris, actually, so as you can imagine, I dine out quite a lot in quite fancy restaurants. So I want to experience the local cuisine, but I also want to have fine dining sometimes. I want to have that one evening where it's like candle lit, you know what I mean? So quite nice. I don't want to be eating from a tent every day. So can you talk us through some of the food and drink habits in Malawi?
Sure. I mean, in terms of sort of local cuisine, in all honesty, there isn't a huge amount that is sort of terribly exotic or exciting. It has to be said. I mean, you know, it's a pretty poor country, and you know, the staple diet is a maize meal, and then you know, if you can get a bit of meat, great. And then sort of spice it up with some tasty vegetables, hopefully. So the sort of local cuisine is not terribly exciting, but you can have a go, and you can find a few things, and they do some really nice chili sauces that you know, depending on your tolerance and how much you want to try, you can give those a go. But the sort of high-end lodges are, you know, they've been at this for a while. They know what they're doing. So the menus in those is really impressive. I mean, I've always found it slightly bizarre, and it's not just Malawi, but in Africa generally, how the standard of cuisine seems to sort of get better and better the more remote you find yourself. And I just don't understand how they do it. You know, you can be in some of these safari lodges in the middle of the bush, and they're providing this sort of gourmet food to you.
I'm guessing, in regards to, like you said, production of food itself there, they've got the lake. I'm guessing they've got a lot of seafood, is very available.
Lake
Lake
food.
food.
Lake food.
Lake
Yeah,
food.
lake food. Yeah. Yeah,
The
sorry, not seafood, lake food.
fish.
What, food from the
No,
water, basically.
trout. Trout,
Fish.
not cod.
Yeah,
Yeah.
fish.
No, there is. Yeah, the fish out of Lake Malawi is definitely, you know, you won't find a menu that isn't offering some kind of Lake Malawi fish dish. So yeah, that is a strong point. Again, maybe not. You know, if you get a long, long way from the lake, you might think twice about it. But certainly anywhere near the lake, then fish is usually on the menu. And they're always quite creative in these lodges as well. I mean, there's one you can stay in, an old colonial manager's cottage that's now a sort of boutique lodge on one of the tea estates in Malawi. And it's a fantastic estate. They do all sort of fair trade. They sell to the likes of Sainsbury's and that kind of thing. And they do a wonderful menu. It's all sort of tea infused, you know. So you're having your cream tea on the lawn where they're playing croquet out front, and it's sort of, you know, Earl Grey infused cream on your
Sounds
scone.
lovely.
Absolutely, yeah, it's cracking stuff. So
I'm gonna ask a question that's I just want your honesty on this one. Not that you're not honest, Kelly. I'm just trying to get to this. So from an outsider that hasn't been to Malawi, my wife might say, "Well, what sort of dangers are there in regards to wildlife, as into like snakes and spiders and stuff? And also in the lake, is there crocodiles? Is there things that they need to be, you know, are, you know, you have to think from a tourist point of view. Tourists often forget all these things, but it's handy to know. I mean, from my perspective, I just like to know if I need to push the wife in there because there's a crocodile in there, you know, that type of thing, really."
I mean, you know, the safari side of things obviously is all done extremely professionally and extremely safely. I mean, the one of the beauties with Malawi, particularly in Lwandle National Park, is that you can actually not only do they take you out in vehicles, but you go out on boats and do boat safaris on the river, and you can do walking safaris. So actually get out on foot in the bush. Now, obviously, when you do a walking safari, you have a guy with a gun with you. just to make sure. But then, the only times you have any sort of issues with those kind of things, it's to scare the animals off. It's not because there's going to be a sort of attack situation. They know what they're doing. They know how to make sure that they keep you away from any kind of danger. In terms of sort of snakes and spiders and that kind of thing, I mean, yes, there's some around, but it's not something I've, again, in 20, 30 years, I've ever come across anyone being bitten by something really nasty that's caused them a problem. It's a tropical country. These things are around, but they're not ubiquitous, and they're not things that people generally concern themselves about too much. Crocodiles, yes. So Lake Malawi, not really in terms of croc. People ask about hippos and crocodiles, and they're in the rivers, and they only end up in the lake. The lake's not really where they want to be, so they only end up there if it's a particularly bad rains on the rainy season, and they get washed down the rivers and go a bit too far. And then so the odd croc will sort of be around the mouth of a river, but the local villagers will be aware, and they'll make sure that people know where it is, and it's avoidable. So that kind of thing you've got no issues with at all. We do get asked, so I'll mention this before you do, there's a disease called Bilharzia that is found in pretty much all freshwater in Africa, and left to develop can be pretty nasty. And we get asked a lot about Bilharzia in Lake Malawi, because back in the day, when years and years and years ago, before they sort of knew better, Malawi used to say there's no Bilharzia in Lake Malawi, which is nonsense. There's Bilharzia in all water in Africa, all fresh water. So there is Bilharzia in Lake Malawi, but the reality is that it's only in very specific places. It needs quite specific environmental conditions to exist. You need to be near a village, you need slow moving water, you need reed beds. And so most of the lodges, they can test their waters and know that there's no Bilharzia. If you see the waves lapping away, there's no Bilharzia. And also, it is something that is actually curable. So, most of these African destinations, you're going to have to take antimalarials and that kind of thing, which is sensible. And Bilharzia isn't something that should stop you going into Lake Malawi, because one, it's avoidable, and two, it's curable. It's two pills and it's gone. So
And
just go in.
assuming you'd also have typhoid and hepatitis A and
Yeah,
all that sort of stuff.
you need to be up to date on your basic sort of tropical
Which you get from your
drugs,
local doctor anyway.
really.
You ask your local
Yeah,
doctor.
so that's but there's no, I mean, yellow fever, you don't need a yellow fever certificate and that kind of thing. So.
That's really good. I was just talking about the small critters again. When I was in Cape Town, was just outside Cape Town, about 50 miles north of it, and in the morning got up to leave this hotel that we were in. We had the patio doors open at night time, and because it was really hot, and picked up my suitcase, and underneath my suitcase was a scorpion. It just kind of come in and decided to sleep there, and I was just thinking, like, well, I'm glad I saw that in the morning and not the
Yeah.
night before I went to bed, because I would have been very nervous about one coming in and joining me in bed. But
Well, we've
did
got
you
them in the
have to
UK.
check
Yeah,
for
tiny.
scorpion?
This was like that, though. It was like
On
a
the docks, I mean, on the docks in Sheerness and London and everything else, there's actually a scorpion population that
yes,
people.
I've seen them, tiny little ones. Yeah.
I know the bigger ones actually, quite big. I'm going to
Oh.
argue with you on this, but they are
Yeah.
quite big ones.
Fair enough.
If
Yeah.
you boot, you have to check for scorpions in the mornings, I think, isn't it? And you don't
Yeah,
want to
exactly. Yeah.
shove them in and
So it seems quite kind of safe then, in regards to, like, you don't need to have any out of the ordinary vaccines or out of the ordinary preparation, really, then.
No. It's a standard tropical stuff. Keep up to date on your jabs. No yellow fever needed. And yeah, please go in the lake, because you'd be missing out if you didn't.
I think you've done a really good job here, Kelly, of telling our listeners exactly what Malawi is like. And to be perfectly honest with you, out of all the countries we've been doing in Africa at the moment, it seems to be the one that really should be the one
I
that people
agree.
should go to. It's both reasonable in price. Flights will change. I'm sure they'll get the direct flights there in due course with good price. Because to me, it seems like it's a market waiting to explode in the tourist. And for the travel industry people that are listening, it's something I think they should certainly be looking at selling when people ask for a safari or anything like or any African experience. Because it sounds like Malawi has it all, and probably Malawi is similar to England, where you probably can go to most parts of Malawi and never be more than, I don't know, 60, 90 miles away from Lake Malawi, from what you said. It's
Yeah,
probably like that.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah, I mean, it those short distances are just, for Africa, almost unheard of. Often if you're doing your safari somewhere, then it's a day's drive or a day or a flight to get to the beaches. And Malawi, it's short. And
Okay, so I've got one question I want to ask you, Kelly. It's quite important before we kind of wind this up. Can you tell me the seasons for travellers? Does obviously that affects the rates, but when should people from the UK be looking to travel, for example, or people from America or Europe, Northern Hemisphere, when do they go to Malawi? What are the best months to go, and what are the quieter months to go?
So the simple season really is wet and dry. So Malawi's dry season is sort of April through to early November, basically.
Our summer,
And
really.
that's the time to go. That's the best time to go. You get not only will there be no rain, to virtually no rain, but it's the time when the vegetation dies back and the water is scarce. So in terms of game viewing, you're much, much better chance of seeing all the animals. They have to come down to the water sources. The bush isn't getting in the way of your view of them. So that's really the time. I think sort of late September, early October is about the very best time to be there. You can still go in the rainy season. Everywhere is actually still open. And you get to see Malawi at its most green, lush, and beautiful, because we haven't talked a huge amount, but it has mountains and plateaus and things that you can, this is green, lush, beautiful Africa, not just flat, brown, boring Africa.
So you've got mountains, you've got hills, you've got greens, you've got lakes, you've got beaches. I mean, you've got it all,
That
really.
sounds perfect. It
It's
really
not,
does.
not, I
Perfect
mean, I know, I would say it, wouldn't I? But it's not untrue. And I mean, the cherry on the top of the cake as well is that because it's 30 years behind the likes of Kenya, Tanzania, and those kind of things in terms of its tourism development, there's virtually no other tourists there at the moment either. So you get this
super.
wonderful Africa experience, and feel like you've got the place to yourself. I
That's
mean.
wonderful. That really is, to me, that is so beautiful to hear of a country. I mean, I like to travel to places that aren't over tourism, and particularly we live in an era. It's surprising because kind of like Malawi's missed the rush and has come. It's potentially coming up now from behind and will overtake the other countries. I mean, I can see from what you're describing, in 15, 20 years' time, Malawi may be the country at the top of the list because of what you've said. It's got everything there. I just hope that they have the sense to manage it well when it starts to become like that now.
Yeah, it certainly has the potential, and as you say, we don't want to spoil the charm, but there's so much scope for more people to, at the moment the game parks have got one or two lodges in the whole park, so and they're decent sized parks, so at the moment you go out on your safari and it's not 15 zebra stripe minibuses all chasing each other, it's you in a vehicle.
What's the currency? And also, do you use the local currency, or do you use a US dollar or pound to buy things? And what's sort of the value, just to give an idea to someone if they were traveling there?
So the currency is the kwacha, the Malawi kwacha, and for sort of small, local purchases and that kind of thing, fine, you can use the kwacha. But the lodges and what have you, they all charge in US dollars, and the government wants as much forex as they can possibly get. So your payments to them will be
So, what
in
about the
Malawi.
local person by the street that's selling a gift? Is that again a US dollar, or is it a Malawi currency?
They'll happily take US dollars off you or pounds or anything like that. But if you've changed a few kwacha on at the airport or got yourself a few kwacha,
And
then
does it go a long way? I mean, does the British pound go a long way, or convert it to dollar in this case? Does it go a long way? Can you get a lot for your money, really, bang for your buck?
you absolutely can. I mean, as I say, it is a pretty poor country, so obviously daily living expenses are nothing like what they are here. So yes, you're a rich person
Well, Kelly, it sounds like a
arrive
recipe
in
for
Malawi.
highly successful. I mean, I can see Malawi is going to be very successful moving forward, providing there isn't any major political unrest or anything like that. I can't see a reason why Malawi wouldn't continue to grow and be successful. It sounds great. Anyway, Dan, you wanted to throw something in?
Yeah, so we're going to start wrapping up the podcast very, very soon. But just before we do, I'll ask everybody for their kind of final words of wisdom, their final thoughts and takeaways from today. But just before we do go on to that, I have a question for you. So you're going to be going to Malawi for 5 days. What are the essentials that people should do and see? What's the kind of like the bucket list type things? We've never been there before. What do we have to do?
Okay. One, I'd say try and find a few more days because it's a long way to go for 5 days. But actually, if you do, I mean, it's interesting because if you do say, right, I literally have got a week, the beauty of Malawi, I mean, I'm repeating myself, but the beauty of the short distances, the beauty of is that you can still do that variety. So you can come into Blantyre, you can go to Zomba Plateau, which is a beautiful highland plateau area, see some community projects. There's a lovely little lodge there, does some fantastic community projects, couple of nights there. Move on to Liwonde National Park, couple of nights of safari, go and see the Big Five. Move on to Lake Malawi, where there's a choice. You could go and stay on one of the islands, go into one of the lodges on the beach, couple of nights there. That's 6 nights in country, and you've seen some beautiful scenery, had some cultural interaction, done a safari, and spent some time on a beach. And there's not many places you can do that. Please don't. Please don't just go for a week and rattle around like that. Spend a bit more time. If you've got 10 days, a fortnight, you can, you know, actually have a much richer experience. But because no time is lost, no time is wasted, even if you've only got that week, you can still get the variety that Malawi. And obviously, if your preference is safaris, go spend more time on the safaris. If you can't stand sitting on beaches, drop that bit out, spend a bit more time doing other things. But it gives you those choices.
That's fantastic. So yeah, like I said, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on today. Really, really enjoyed that. And it's made me really want to go there. So I'm sure it's hopefully done the same for our listeners. So just before we wrap up then, any final words, final thoughts from yourself, Wesley, or any final words of wisdom?
No, not really. I think Malawi is a fantastic destination. And one of the reasons I wanted to get Kelly on was because I felt that Malawi needs this push and a start of this awareness outside of the tourism industry, really. I've seen Malawi gradually increasing in activity. And I think it's one country, just like you said, Dan, that you'd like to go to. From what Kelly's told me, and I already knew a lot about Malawi, but Kelly's sold Malawi to me tonight, or today, I should say. And I think from that point of view, I think it hopefully listeners will have the same experience and think, okay, Malawi should be on the list, certainly on a bucket list of places to go. Now I'm thinking I want to go to Africa to experience this. Which country? And I'll put Malawi at the top of it, actually.
Likewise.
That's truthful. And that is not because of everything you've said, Kelly, but it's because of the picture you've painted. You know, you've been really straight and honest with us about everything, and you've answered all those points, and some countries flip around those, but you've answered all those points really well, and thank you for coming on. It's been fantastic seeing you as well.
No, well, my pleasure, and that's really, really good to hear, and yeah, I mean you're right, it has such potential, and for you know, it's been a bit shunned in the past, but there's just no reason now. You can do all these things, and one thing that I meant to pick up on as well, you asked about sort of value and you know, how far your pound goes, and I think one of the points that are not yet made is that in terms of people wanting to know that their tourism spend actually makes an impact, and Malawi is a country where it absolutely does, because you know, most of the lodges are relatively small, they're Malawian owned, they all have fantastic connections to their local communities. So when responsible tourism became a sort of big selling point for travel, we sort of contacted all these guys in all the lodges and said, well, what's your responsible tourism policy? And they'll just look at you blankly and say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. If you actually say to them, well, okay, do you support local communities? Do you have conservation programs? They're pretty much offended that you've asked them, because of course they do. Of course they're doing this kind of thing. Of course, they're the biggest employer for miles around in rural Malawi.
That's brilliant.
And they're running these conservation programs. They're helping, you know, there's tree planting, there's, you know, projects to get local industry going, and as well as just employing people. So you're not only are you going to Malawi and able to get all these fantastic experiences in a small, welcoming, easy to get around, English-speaking country, but you are making an impact and a very positive impact by being there, because all the lodges, the tourism industry, fundamentally by default, is supporting the local community and conservation efforts and all that kind of thing.
Fantastic. Really, truly
Absolutely
fantastic.
brilliant. Yeah. So just before we wrap up then, any final words, final thoughts from yourself?
No, just yeah, please give it a chance. Have a look at Malawi. Say it's somewhere that maybe wasn't previously on people's radars, but now it really, really should be. For somewhere that has some fantastic safaris, some beautiful scenic places that you can explore, wonderful cultural interaction, and meeting local people in Africa and interacting with really friendly people, and then finish it off sitting on a beach.
That's brilliant.
What's not to love?
And if anybody wants to learn more about it or get in touch with you, have you got any websites or any methods that you'd like our listeners to approach?
It's pretty simple. Our website is malawitourism.com. No hyphen, no anything else. malawitourism.com.
Perfect. Well, that concludes today, and it's been an absolute pleasure, Kelly. Really, really thoroughly enjoyed this. It really has. It's been great. It's been inspirational. So, anybody listening, do get in touch. Do check out Kelly's website. And also, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. And also, go on to purevacations.com, which is our website. We've got lots of interesting articles. Subscribe to our mailing list, and we'll be continuing to give you these nuggets of joy within the world of travel. So, just want to say thank you to everybody for listening today. It's been an absolute pleasure. We wouldn't be here without you. So, it's very kind that you've taken the time out of your day to do so. I just want to say, have a lovely rest of your day, everybody. Have a lovely rest of your week. And we look forward to speaking to you on the next podcast very, very soon. Thanks so much, and bye bye.
As the sun sets on another journey, we fold our maps, pack our memories, and get ready for the next adventure. Every voyage may come to an end, but the stories, they linger, resonating in our hearts. Remember, every destination is a doorway to a new experience, a new story. Keep exploring and keep dreaming. This has been Pure Vacations with your hosts, Wesley Baker and Dan Pratt. Until next time, let your heart wander and your feet will follow.